Today's Shir Masechet Megillah Daf Gimel, and we will begin on Daf Beis on the Beis, three lines from the bottom. Meisu Namatanina. At the end of the previous Shir, the Gemara had actually taught us two very important points. One was that, at least according to Rabbah, our Mishnah that identified a number of situations where one is over Mi'ila, all of those situations, that those situations were not Mi'ila d'Raisa, but rather Mi'ila d'Rabbanim. And the Gemara had continued in saying that this concept of Mi'ila d'Rabbanim was a concept that Ulam Rabbi Yochanan taught us, to which the Gemara immediately asked, if we're saying that our Mishnah is already speaking and talking about Mi'ila d'Rabbanan, so why do we need Ula to say what we already could learn from our Mishnah? So the Gemara answered that Ula adds a new twist to the halacha that we wouldn't know from the Mishnah. So now begins our Gemara, Meisu Namitnina. And there's a machloikus Rishonim how to understand this question that the Gemara is now posing. Some Rishonim say that the Gemara's question is that we learned yesterday that the chiddush of Ula is that when an animal dies, it's still subject to Mi'ila d'Rabbanan, which is not something we would learn from our Mishnah. Ask our Gemara that concept as well we've learned in a Mishnah, and therefore why do we need Ula to teach it to us? That's how Rabbeinu Gershom and the Shita understand the Gemara's question. Rashi, the Mefarish, explains the Gemara's question differently. He explains that the Gemara's question is that Ula made a statement at the end of yesterday's shir that whenever an animal that's hegdish dies, it's subject to Mi'ila d'Rabbanan. And now the Gemara is asking that from the Mishnah we're about to quote, it seems that that is not the halacha by all animals that are hegdish that die. Begins the Gemara. The Mishnah says, Hanenam anachatas, kishchaya, if you have an animal that was designated as a carbon chatas, and this animal is a balmum, and therefore it cannot be used as a carbon chatas, so says the Mishnah, loimol, you have not violated mi'ila at shiyifkaim, until you actually diminish the value of this animal by a pruta. However, kishimesa, if the animal is dead, so you have an animal that was designated for karmachatas that is now dead, and as we've learned many times, such an animal cannot be redeemed because the halacha is ein poidim esakachim lachilim aklovim. The only thing we can do with a dead animal is feed it as an avela to dogs, which we're not allowed to do with an animal that was hegdish. Here, says the Mishnah, when have you violated Mila? Kinan nev nakalshu, if you've had benefit, even a kalshu, you have violated Mila. Ask the Gemara, Salkadaitach, since this Mishnah is speaking about chatas, that only by a carbon chatas does this halach apply, not elsewhere. Hoyo kapara asya, the question of Gemara is, again, according to two Rishonim that we began this year, either the Gemara's question is, it seems that this is halacha only by chatas, or, on the other hand, the question is that, and Ula said that is halacha by all kabanas, or the Gemara's question is that, why do I need Ula to teach us this halacha, if this Mishnah already says this halacha? Answers the Gemara, the reason I would think chatas is different, ha'il kapara kasya, since a chatas comes for kapara, that's why b'del minei, people separate themselves from a karmen chatas. Av kachim, other kabonis, which don't come for kapara, and as Mepharshim explained, everything besides a chatas or an osham that come for kapara, ha'iv lav l'kapara asi, there people won't separate themselves. Kamashmalam. So the way we're going, there are a number of girsos in this Gemara. So to work it through, we'll say it not with the words inside. According to the Mefarshim that say that the question of Gemara is that here it seems that this is a halacha only by Chatos, and Ulus said his halacha applies by all Kabbonis, says the Gemara in the Teretz, absolutely applies by all Kabbonis. The Mishnah had to single out Chatos, because Chatos has this concept of being for Kapora. According to the question that haven't we learned this already in the Mishnah, and what is Ula telling us? So the answer is that if we learned the Mishnah, we would think that this is a halacha only by Chatos. How do we know that this is a halacha by all Kabbonis? That's what Ula comes to teach us. Continues the Gemara. So now we're saying that an animal which was kachim, even though it's dead, and it's not subject, as we learned already in the previous year, to Mila Daraisa, it is subject to Mila Darabonim. We have learned numerous times that there are Chamish Chatas Mesis. There are five animals that are carbon Chatas that are left to die. When we say it's left to die, it means that we take the animal and we put it into a pen until it expires. A Vlad Chatos, a Tamuris Chatos, Chatos Shemesu Balea, Chatos Shekipra Balea, Chatos Ovda, a Chatos that got lost for Ovishnasan, by the time it's found, it's too old. Ask the Gemara for Chatos, and according to the way we're learning, all of these carbon Chatos, if they die, and they're left to die, the halacha should be that they're subject to Me'ila, at least Me'ila d'Rabbanan. Ask the Gemara, the Chatos Shemesa Me'is B'Me'ila is an animal, a carbon Chatos that's left to die, subject to Hilchos Me'ila. But now we learned the Mishnah, we learned in a Braisa, Chatos HaMesis, if one of the five carbon Chatos that are left to die. Or Mo'os HaHolchos L'Yam HaMelech. The same halacha that we just described, where somebody designated a carbon, an animal to be a carbon chatos, and one of the events that we just identified happened, that the halacha is that that animal is left to die. The same halacha applies that if somebody separated money for carbon chatos, and let's say Kippur Balei Bachar, he used different money, or one of the other situations, or the owner who designated the money for carbon chatos passed away, that the halacha is that that money should be put to the Yam HaMelech, and as we always explain, specifically to the Yam HaMelech, where there is no issue that that money will be found and used. We've discussed, doesn't need to be ground up before it's put into the Yam HaMelech. The halacha is, loy nenen, midrabanan, one may not have hanor from this money or from these animals, loy mayalan, but there is no issim ila, even midrabanan. So we see that even though it's a Chatos HaMesa, and Ula has taught us that a Kachim that die are subject to Mila Derabonim, here we see the Loi Ma'alan, there's no Mila, even Mila Derabonim. And as the Mefarshim make the Gemara's question even Geshmaker, based on a Gemara that we learned in Masechta Temura. When we learned the Masechta Temura, the Gemara said, a Machloikis Amaruim. One opinion was, that really, Midaraisa, there aren't five cases of Chatos HaMesis. Midaraisa, there are only four cases of Chatos HaMesis. But Chazal weren't sure which is the fifth, which are the four, and therefore they said that all of them should be Chatos HaMesis. Or, there was another opinion, that really, Midaraisa, Mihaloch L'Mosh Messina, there's only one case that's Mesa, that it's left to die. But we don't know which is that one case, so we treat all of them. But Midaraisa, this animal isn't even a Mesa. So the halacha certainly should be that it should be subject to Mila, at least Mila Drabonin. Yet this price says, Loi Nenen V'Loi Mayalan. And as we explain, and all the Rishonim explain, that the definition of the words Loi Nenen V'Loi Mayalan in this price means that you're not allowed to have a no from them with Drabonin, V'Loi Mayalan, but if you did, you weren't over Mila Drabonin. And the Mefarshim ask, how do we know that that's the way to explain these words, and therefore we have a question on Ula? Maybe what it means is loinenin, there's no, you're not allowed to have a nov loimoyal, and it means there is no mila derais, but there is mila derabonin. And if that's the meaning of these words, then on the contrary, Not only don't we have a question on Ula, but actually we have a proof to Ula's opinion. Answer the Rishonim, answer the Mefarshim. I saw two Terutz. One Terutz is that the Braisa could have used one of two expressions. The Braisa could have said Loi Ma'alin, or the Braisa could have said Ve'ein Mo'alin. If the Braisa would have used the words Ein Mo'alin, indeed it would mean there's no Mila Deraisa, but there's Mila Derabonim. But when the Braisa uses the words Loi Ma'alin, it means that there isn't even Mila Derabonim. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat that I saw is if what the Braisa meant to say was that there is no Mila Deraisa, but there is Mila Derabonim, then the Braisa would have used the reversed order. It would have said Loi Ma'alin V'Loi Nenin. The fact that the Braisa first says Loi Nenim, it's only us to have Hanom Adrabanan. And then it adds the words Loi Malin, it shows us that all the Braisa means to say is that there is no, the Braisa is coming to show us that not, there is a Issa Hanom Adrabanan, but even if you did have Hanom, you weren't over Mila Adrabanan. And the question is why? According to Ula, there should at least be Mila Adrabanan. Answers the Gemara, Amri, Chatas Hamesis, B'chayim,
He says, there's a difference between the animal that's alive and the animal that's dead. An animal that's alive, so people stay, have relations, have contact with. And since people have contact with the animal, Chazal said, we have to be worried that you'll come to Mila, and there's Mila Derabonim. But an animal which was designated for death, and as I saw the Achronim explain, we have to actively put it into that keeper. We have to actively put it into that cell where it will expire, so we don't have to worry about anybody coming to use it, and therefore Chazal saw no need to make even Mila Derabonim, to be misakin that there should be Mila Derabonim. It's interesting, there's a tshuva for Ramosha. This tshuva Ramosha wrote while he was still in Russia, as a rav in Russia, where he got a question from a neighboring town. At that time, the communists were already in control of the country, and obviously, they did not allow freedom of religion. And there was a town near the city where Ramosha was the Rav that wanted to build a mikveh. And the only place that the authorities allowed the mikveh to be built was in the Ezras Noshim of the shul. And the halacha is that one may not turn a Beis HaKnesses into a merchatz unless it was done through the authority of the Zion Tuveir, so to speak, the board of directors, the Mamet Anshehoir, with the authorization of the entire community, or the majority of the community. And again, because of the circumstances that they were living in, it was impossible to bring together Maimer Anshe'ir to get a communal meeting to make this decision if they could build a mikveh there. And the question that was posed to Rav Moshe was, can they build a mikveh there anyway? So first Rav Moshe says that we know the Gemara says in Masechta Saita, Umalas Sholoim Ben Ish L'Ishtai, in order to make peace between a husband and wife, Amr Tayr Shmi Shenichta B'Kedusha, does Hashem say my name, my holy name, which is written with Chatz Kedusha, Yimacha may be erased by the parish of Asaita? Certainly here, where having a mikveh, a kosher mikveh, certainly brings the ability for husband and wife to have relations, it's the din that you can't make a shul into a mikveh should be waived. And actually I saw that the Chazon Ish felt that way also. He said that if you're going to need to build a mikveh and a shul, and you can't get the Zayin Tuveir b'maimer anshe'ir, you could do it, but don't do it in a place near where there's the, below the Aron HaKodesh. But then Rav Moshe, which is relevant to our share, uses, and it's incredible how a Gadol b'Yisrael could connect Kol HaTorah Kula. Rav Moshe uses the concept that we've just learned. He says, what's the reason why Chazal, under certain circumstances, required that when we're transferring Kedusha, it may only be done with Zayin Tuveir B'Mamin Anshe'ir? So he explains, because there's always a chance that you want to use this Beis HaKnesses for whatever purpose,
But it may change. You may want to use it for basic necessities. And now you've degraded it by using it for one of these needs for Beis HaMerchatz. If you have it decided, B'zayin Tuvei Iyir, B'mayman Anshei Iyir, we need not be concerned that there's going to be any reversal of opinion. He said, but our Gemara taught us that by an animal that's being put to death, a Chatas HaMeisa, we have no reason, the Gemara said, to be Mesakin Mila Derabonin. Chazal saw no need. Because Chazal knew that you have no intention of ever using that animal for your own person, for your own personal need, for any other need. Your Mesa, you're putting it, as we explained a moment ago, you're putting it into the cell to expire. Similarly, when it's such circumstances that we described, where it's certain that nobody has any havamina, where nobody has any expectation that this place will be used for anything but a Beis HaMerchatz, and that could be reversed because of the terrible circumstances they lived on, they'd only designed to Tuvei B'Maimon and Shi'ir. The circumstances themselves create such a situation, and therefore, even though they can't get together the Maimon and Shi'ir, they could build a mikveh by the Beis HaMerchatz. In our previous year, the Gemara on top of that Beis of a Beis posed a question. We learned in our Mishnah the situation where we have a carbon which is kachi kachim, which we know that halacha is that a carbon that's kachi kachim has to be slaughtered with tzofen hazara in the north part of the hazara. What would be the halacha if it was slaughtered in the wrong part? Where even though under certain circumstances, under many circumstances, the halacha is an olu, if a carbon that's posel was put on the mizbeach improperly, lo yeridu, it should not be removed. What would be the halacha in this situation? And Rava Paskin, that if a carbon was slaughtered in the wrong place, if Kacha Kacha was slaughtered Bedarim, everybody will agree, Rava said him, Olu Yardu. And now the Gemara begins to challenge that opinion. One more word of introduction. We know that an animal carbon, the way it's slaughtered is through Shechita. A bird carbon is slaughtered through Malika. We also know that where the Malika takes place by different kabbonis is in different places. And that the halacha is that a oilus ha'oif, the Malika takes place on the upper half of the Mizbeach, and by a chatas ha'oif, the Malika takes place on the lower part of the Mizbeach. As we spoke yesterday, lamalu, lamata mechuta sikra, above or below that red line which encircles the midpoint of the Mizbeach. So the Gemara says, the opinion of Rabbi that we just stated, opinion is challenged by Rabbi Yosef. And the way, says the Gemara, that challenge is developed is chada megoy chada v'chada megoy chada. By learning three Mishnayos, one on top of the other, we come to a picture that poses a refutation of the opinion of Rabbi. The Mishnah says, we know that the halacha is that unlike a regular nevela of an animal, that it's tamei, and a person either who carries or touches a nevela becomes tamei, mago v'masa. A nevela oif tohor becomes tamei v'beis ablia, when it's in the throat of the person who swallows it. Says the Mishnah Masechta Zvochim Daf Samach Vav, V'kulam eimet tam begon beis ablia. And bird, whose malika, which obviously if a malika was done in the wrong, when you're not supposed to do malika, that would make a bird into a nevela. Says the Mishnah, that if the malika of the chatas ha'if or the oilas ha'if was done in the wrong place, so even though it's not a kosher carbon, it won't have the din of a nevela's oif tar that Shemimatama Abes Abliya. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, Umayalam Behem. But since these kabbonis were not processed properly, so even though the halacha normally is that after the carbon has been processed properly, and we'll speak about this more in a moment, it becomes no longer subject to Mila. Here, as we already discussed yesterday, these kabbonis were not processed properly, and therefore they're still subject to Mila. Chutz, Mechatas oif shos lamas, ta kamas chatas oif, l'shem chatas. The exception is that if you did malik on a chatas oif, on the lower half of the mizbeach, as the halacha requires, and you had the proper intention, then it won't be subject to milah. And as the Rishonim explain, the reason the Mishnah needs to say this, because by an oilless haif, it would be very different. Because let's review on a very important halacha. An oilless haif, even after it's been processed properly, remains kotshe Hashem. Because it can only be, it's completely for Hashem. So the Mishnah is saying that the only time a oif carbon could, that's kotshe kotshim, chatos, can lose its status of being susceptible to mila, is it has to be a karmen chatos that was done properly. The malika on the lower half of the mizbeach was shame karmen chatos. Continues the Mishnah in saying, in summarizing, v'ktani levei, kol shayi psul b'kaidish, ein matam b'godem beis ablia. The Mishnah cites a rule. Whenever the karmen became possible b'kaidish, then it's not considered a nevela that's matam b'godem beis ablia. Because loy hayu psul b'kaddish, but if it wasn't that situation, matam b'godem beis ablia. And the Rishonim debate, what does it mean, kol shayi psul b'kaddish? Rashi says that if the disqualification happened in the Azara, the example that we just learned, that if the disqualification happened in the Azara because he was makriv, he did the malika in the wrong place, but that the, on the Mizbeach, but that Mizbeach is in the Azara, that carbon, even though it's disqualified, it's still not subject to, it doesn't have the din of nevela. In other words, the way that we showed him explained, because it still has in it enough kedusha that it should prevent it from being a nevela. There are other pshatim, that's the simplest pshat in this Gemara. Another pshat is psula b'kodesh, is that the disqualification is a disqualification that may be an issue here, but not an issue elsewhere. Let's understand. What's the disqualification? That he did the chatas ha'oif above the chutas sikra. He did the oilus ha'oif below the chutas sikra. So yes, by the chatas ha'oif lamala mechutas sikra is a psul. Yes, by oilus ha'oif lamata mechutas sikra is a psul. But it's not a psul by all kabbalas. On the contrary, by behema, an oila is done specifically on the lower half. And a chatas is specifically done on the upper half. So since this is a firm disqualification, that's why it's not considered such a strong disqualification that the bird should now be considered in the vela. A third shot that I saw is that since it became disqualified as you were doing an avoider with it, you were shechting it, l'shem, you were doing malik l'shem a carbon, so that prevents it from being considered in the vela. And now we have a third Mishnah, a little later in the Masechta, that paid Dalit. The Tani in the Mishnah says, Kol shayi psula b'kaidish, wherever this qualification is in the category of a psula b'kaidish, im olu lo yeredu. So now let's bring it all together. The Mishnah said that if the Mishnah gave as an example a psula b'kaidish where the malik was done in the wrong spot. And what is the final Mishnah we just quoted, Paskin? That when the malik was done in the wrong spot, the halacha is im olu lo yeredu. Says the Gemara, the same is if the shechita was done in the wrong spot. The halacha ought to be emol lo yardu. But that's to Yufta the Rabba, who said, as we said, as the Gemara said on the top of that beis on the beis, the Rabba's opinion is that if you did the malika in the wrong spot, emol lo yardu. If you did the shechita in the wrong spot, emol lo yardu. So says the Gemara, to Yufta the Rabba, to Yufta. So the Mefarshim explained that this Gemara says a concept, kol shepsul b'kaidish, einim etama b'godim, is teaching us a very deep lesson. It's inevitable that people do averis in odin b'aretz l'yechta. But, say this svarim, kol shepsul b'kaidish, even if a person's psulai, even if a person does an avera, but b'kaidish, he's still connected to kedusha, einim etama b'godim. He still has a vestige of kedusha. And he doesn't become disconnected. It's only kosh loy hayu psul b'kaidish. Then not only Rachmon Tzlan does he do a veris, but he disconnects himself from kedusha. That's when there's tumah. And that's why the Pnei Menachem actually explains a Gemara that we learned the other day, Masechta Krisis, Daf Chaf Hei. The Gemara Masechta Krisis, Daf Chaf Hei said, it's actually Gemara Masechta Yuma as well, that on Yom Kippur we know that two kabbanas were brought, a Saul LaShem and Saul LaZazel. And we learned in the Gemara on Daf Chaf Hei, Masechta Krisis, that the Saul LaShem is brought for one Aveira, for Tumas Migdash V'Kadoshav, if somebody entered the Beis HaMikdash B'Tumah and he wasn't aware of it. The Saul LaZazel, the Gemara said, is used for all other Aveiras. And I always found it interesting that the Saul that's brought the Fnim in the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur is only used for that one Aveira of Tumas Migdash V'Kadoshav. It's only used for one Aveira, and specifically that one Aveira. And the Karbonis that are, and the Saul LaZazel comes for all other Aveiras. Why? So he explains, because Tumas Migdash V'Kadoshav represents what we just discussed. Tumas Migdash V'Kadoshav represents that a person disconnected himself from the Kedusha. He, Rechmon Slam, became Tamei. And that, as we just described, is the worst Aveira, when a person disconnects himself from the Kedusha. So the first Avoida that has to be done on Yom Kippur is that we have to bring a Sor HaNasa B'Fnim to Metar ourselves, to reconnect ourselves to Kedusha. Once we've reconnected ourselves to the Kedusha, then we could bring the Sar LaZazel that's Mechaper for all other Averis. But the Gemara proved, as we just described, that this Brisa teaches us that even though the carbon was brought in the wrong place, the Malika was done in the wrong place, the Halacha is a Mala Lo Yerdu, a question on Rabba. So Mepharshim asked that the Gemara could have defended Rabba's opinion. It could have defended Rabbi's opinion because although we have this very clear proof from the Mishnah in Masechta Zvachim, that Mishnah Masechta Zvachim speaks about a bird. Maybe here we're speaking about animal, and maybe the halacha when the animal was slaughtered in the wrong place has a different halacha than the bird that Malika was done in the wrong place. So most Mepharshim say that there is no reason to make that type of distinction. And going back to what we discussed in the previous year. Because what did Rava say? Rava said that if the animal was killed in the wrong place, it's considered commander chankinadomi, as if the animal expired, and as we learned yesterday, if the animal expired, it's not subject to mila deraisa. So it shouldn't make a difference if it expired because it was slaughtered in the wrong place, or the malika was done in the wrong place. If you hold, that's considered like a mesa, and it's not subject to mila, so it's the same. That's the way most of us explain. But I did see that there's some Mepharshim that say that actually the Gemara does understand that that is a possible defense of Rabbi's opinion. Why? Because look at the next words of the Gemara. It says the Gemara, for hard to plead with Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef, this issue the Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef debate, if the Shechita was done in the wrong place, is the Alochem Olu Yardu, or the Alochem Olu Lo Yardu, says the Gemara, Pshita Leila Rabbi Elazar. It's obvious to Rabbi Elazar, and we'll explain in a moment what the Gemara means, what the Gemara is going to say. But the question is, what's the need for the Gemara to tell us that what Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef debate wasn't the question to Rabbi Elazar? Haven't we already refuted the opinion of Rabbi? Must be that's not necessarily so. That the Gemara understood that there may be a way to defend Rabbi's opinion. And now the Gemara says that even though Rabbi still has his opinion, and Rabbi Yosef still has his opinion, that machloikus was not a question to Rabbi Elazar. And a word of introduction here as well. We know that there were different periods in our history where Klal Yisrael was allowed to bring Kabbanos on Obama. As long as the Mishkan was standing in the Midbar, they were not allowed to bring Kabbanos on Obama. The first 14 years they came into Yisrael, they were. As long as the Mishkan stood in Shiloh, they were not. When the Mishkan was in Noiv and Giva and in Gilgal, they were. And then ultimately when the Beis HaMikdash was built, they were not allowed to bring on Obama. And then once that period came, when they were not allowed to bring a carbon on Obama's Yachid, because the Beis HaMikdash stood, that remained the halacha forever. And there are different halachas. And certainly the carbon that's brought on Obama's tzibur, because as I just said, even during the periods where they were allowed to bring a carbon on Obama's Yachid, And most of those times there was still a bamis tzibur. Says Rabbi Elazar, oila bamis yachid. If there was a carbon oila that was designated to be brought on a bamis yachid, shechnisa lefnim, that he brought inside the azara, inside the gates of the bamis tzibur. And as a machloikus rishonim, when was it brought in? Rashi says that it was brought in after it was slaughtered. Tosfos says it was brought in before it was slaughtered. So the halacha is called tum mechitzas l'chol davar. It has the din of a bamis tzibur, and the halacha is if it's taken out, it becomes pasul. It has if it's an oila, it is an oila, as we're saying, and it can't be brought bedarim. All of the halachas of kachay tzibur apply to it. And on that halacha, says the Gemara, boy, Rabbi Elazar posed the following question. Oila bamis yachid shechnisa. If somebody has this carbon oila that was meant to be brought in a bamis yachid, that he brought in to the mechitzis, that the halacha is that once he brings it in, it has to be treated like a carbon tzibur. And it became nifsula. And the example is that it was slaughtered in the Dharma of the Azara, or one of the other disqualifications. And now Olu, it was put on the Mizbeach, Mer Sheyerdu. What would be the halacha? Is the halacha of Olu La Yerdu apply, or is the halacha of Olu Yerdu apply? Makes the Gemara a point. Midakabai Lechada. Since Rabbi Elazar chose to ask this question, specifically in this case, very unique situation, we have an oil that was meant to be brought as a yachid, and you ended up putting it into the mechitzas of the bamis tzibur. Michlal, why didn't Rabbi Elazar ask a simple situation? Where you have a carbon oil, and you brought it in the wrong place, what would be the halacha? Olu yardu, olu lo yardu. Michlal, the idach pshitalei. It's obvious to him that in the situation that we've been discussing, which is the issue that Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef debated, that the halacha is ikar Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef, that the halacha remains like Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef. Why? Because chad mikach chad kamei bayalei. Because at kamei kamei Rabbi Hassan im olu yardu, Rabbi will paskin that the halacha is im olu yardu when you have a regular carbon oila. Because mechitza ketikna persla. Because only in a case where you did it, where you have a carbon that is a full-fledged carbon oila that's supposed to be brought betzofen, and you brought a bedarim, certainly Rava holds that it's possible. And now he's asking, perhaps shloi ketikna, where anyway this carbon didn't belong in the place of the bamis tzibur, because you originally designated for Amos Yachid, maybe Rabbi will agree the Loi Pasla. Oy Dilma, or, Rav Elazar says, a filler Rabbi Yosef, that says that if you have a regular carbon oila, or regular any kachi kachin, that the halacha is that if you shechted it in the wrong place, the halacha is also Loi Teirid, that's only because Mechitza Ketikna Kolta. Because at least you brought it into the Azara, where this carbon belongs. Because it was a regular carbon that belongs in the Azara. But where Shalika Tikna? Well, besides the problem that you shechted it in the wrong place, you have an additional issue that it wasn't brought in the right place. It wasn't really meant to be brought here. Even Rabbi Yosef will agree, the Loi Kolta, that there Allah is of Olu Yardu. But what do we see from here? We see from here that Rabbi Elazar certainly either follows the opinion of Rabbah, and either follows the opinion of Rabbi Yosef, we're not sure whose opinion he follows, but he certainly follows one opinion, and on top of that opinion, now he asks, and what will be the halacha in this case that we just discussed? But it's obvious that he holds either like Rabbi or Rabbi Yosef, and the Gemara remains with a teiku. We don't know exactly what the halacha should be in this case that Rabbi Elazar identified. As we said in yesterday's shiur, Zrikas Adam on a carbon, Zrikas Adam on a carbon, by Kachi Kachim and by Kachim Kalim, create opposite results as far as Mi'il is concerned. Meaning, An animal that's designated as kachim, as we said, from the moment its designation, is susceptible to mila. Once a proper zrika is done, so yes, the emrim are still subject to mila. A carbon oila is still subject to mila. But kachim, the meat, which is now the meat of the kahanim, is no longer subject to mila. Kachim kalim, we said, is just the opposite. Kachim kalim, from when it's designated until the zrika is done, is not considered strictly kachi Hashem, and is therefore not subject to mila. Once the zrika takes place, again, here we're speaking about a proper zrika, so the emrim become kachi Hashem, and now those emrim become susceptible to mila. Now, Al Gemara begins. Amrav, Gidl Amrav, Zerika's Pigel, and the way Rashi, and this is the way we're going to learn the Gemara, Rashi the Mefarish explains the Gemara, that if the Shechita was done L'Shem Pigel, and the Zerika was done L'Shem Pigel, even though we just explained what Zerika normally accomplishes, this situation, where the Shechita and the Zerika were done L'Shem Pigel, Eina Moitzim Dei Mila B'Kotcha Kotchim, even though Zrika normally takes away from Kachi Kachim its susceptibility to Mila, this Zrika will not. And furthermore, even though Zrika brings to Kachi Kalim the susceptibility of Mila, here, Eina Mevila Mei Mila B'Kachi Kalim, this Zrika will not. This is the way Rashi explains the Gemara, and as I said, we're going to learn with Rashi Pshat. So the Mefarshim asks, what does Rashi say in the explanation of Rav Gidl, that you need to have both the Shechita and Zrika to be L'Shem Pigel, that it should be considered Pigel? Have we not learned the Masechta Zvachim, that if the Shechita was done L'Shem Pigel and the other Avoidus, you didn't have a different Machshava, if the carbon remains Pigel? So answer the Rishonim in defending Rashi, that if the person would have had a Machshavas Pigel by the Shechita, the Kabbalah and the Ilocha, indeed you don't have to have a Machshavas Pigel by the Zrika. Here the Gemara is speaking about a situation where there's a machsheves pigel by the Shechita. There was no machsheves pigel by the Kabbalah and Ilocha. There was no machshav at all. In order for it to be considered this much of a pigel, that it should remain susceptible to pigel, to me'ila by kachim kachim, it should not be susceptible to pigel by kachim kalim. It has to be that the Zrika was done l'shem pigel as well. Furthermore, ask the Rishonim, what's Rav Gidl teaching us that we haven't learned in the Mishnah? Haven't we learned yesterday in the Mishnah that if a carbon was brought or a machsheva of chutz l'zmanoi or chutz l'mekoymoi, the animal remains subject to me'ila kachi kachim? So what's Rav Gidl teaching us? Answered the Rishonim, that if we only had the Mishnah, we would think that yes, if a carbon was slaughtered with a machsheva of chutz l'zmanoi, which makes it into pigel, it remains susceptible to me'ila, but we would think that's only until the zrika is done. But once the zrika is accomplished, the halach is that it should no longer be susceptible to me'ila. Teaches us, Rav Gidl, that pshat in the Mishnah is that if the Shechita was done L'Shem Pigel and the Zrika was done L'Shem Pigel, it remains susceptible by Kachi Kachim for Me'ila. Esvei Rapapa L'Abaya, Yosef Abaya V'kam L'Hashmatza. So Abaya repeated this halacha that Rav Gidl just taught us. Esvei Rapapa L'Abaya. We know the halacha is as follows, that when somebody brings a karma taida, with the carbon toide, he has to bring 40 loaves. As we always explain, the 40 loaves are 4 times 10. 4 types of loaves, each one 10 of. 3 of those types are matzah, one is chametz, and the halacha is one of each one of these 4 types are given to the kohen, and the other 9 are given to the owner. And it says in a braisa, Hashayach has a toide lefnim. If somebody shechs the carbon toide properly in the Azara, the lach machutz l'chayma, machlokes amaron, im masecht menachos. What does chutz l'chayma mean? So one, I think it's Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. One says it's chutz l'chayma azara, and the other one says it's chutz l'chayma shushlaim. The loch is like kiddush as alechem. The lechem doesn't get a kiddush as aguf. Furthermore, shachtach like karmu panel, if the shechita of this carbon toide took place prior to the bread being properly baked, and the Mefarshim explained that actually come up in that tanner. The first explained that is it's still chutim mishachim, that the dough is still stringy. I feel kama kulan, and even if all of them have been properly baked, chutz mi'achmehen lekiddush alachem. Furthermore, shachta, if the carbon taida was slaughtered, chutz l'zmanai v'chutz l'mkaymai, if the shechita took place with a machshava, chutz l'zmanai chutz l'mkaymai, kiddush alachem. The lechem gets kedusha. Alma, isn't this teaching us that pigel maisa l'day mi'ila? That just by having the shechita l'shem pigel, we're talking here about kachim kalim, it becomes susceptible to mi'ila. But haven't we just learned that Rav Gittel said that kachim kalim don't become susceptible to pigel? Again, here the Gemara is assuming that the shechita and the zrika were all done with a machsheves pigel, and yet they become susceptible to meila. Even though Rav Gittel just said at the beginning of this piece of Gemara that if the shechita and the zrika were done l'shem pigel and it's kachim kalim, they will not become susceptible to meila. So again, let's read the words of Gemara. Shachta chutz l'zmanim chutz m'kaymoy kedish halechem am a pigel mais l'day meila ishtuk kiasla kamei derav abba am le bezrika. He said that the reason is that this kotche kalim become susceptible to meila is because he only had that machshava by the shechita, but the zrika didn't have that machshava. But were he to have that, and that's why it becomes kadosh and susceptible to meila. Rav Gittel was speaking about a case we had the machshava both by the shechita and the zrika, where it won't become susceptible to meila. To read the words of the Gemara, amalei bezrika, where he had the machshava that because he was quiet by the zrika, and since he was quiet by the zrika, it becomes susceptible to meila. Were he not quiet by the zrika, if he had a machshava pigel both by the shechita and by the zrika, indeed, the Braisa would not say that it's susceptible to meila, as Rav Gittel taught us.